Okay, today's daf is Daf Yud Aleph. Yes. So the Mishnah begins. Hasocher param chaveru. Someone rents a cow from his friend, vishila lacher, and then lends it to his lends it on to somebody else. Or meta kedarkin, and it dies on its normal way. Now what's interesting here, the socher, as long as he wasn't negligent, would be pater in that case. The shoel who borrowed it from would be chayev. He's got a high level of responsibility. You got an irony here. So you shavah the socher, the person who rented it. You can make a shvuah, shemeta kedarka, and then what happens? But the shoel has to pay no matter what. So who does he pay to? He pays to the person he borrowed it from, which is a socher. So it's interesting. What happens in the end is the owner doesn't get anything. The socher, because of his left responsibility, doesn't have to pay anything. But the person who borrowed it from, if it's mekta kedarka, you still have to pay. So he'd pay back to the person he borrowed it from. So that's why Amar Rabbi Yossi says, Ketzad halo says chorba parato shel zeh. That doesn't make any sense. How is it possible that I'm profiting from another person I borrowed it from? Ella no, tachzor par le-balim, it goes all the way back. In other words, it's considered like a, in that situation, it's considered as if you're borrowing directly from the balim. It's a simple way to explain it. Okay? And therefore, this intermediary, this person who rented it, he can't profit from it. He can't get the money, and then the balim doesn't get anything. Okay. Hasocha bar machaveru, it says, v'yesh lo rishut la'ashir. Says, what are you talking about? Who says he's allowed to lend it out? If I rent something, I'm not allowed to lend it out. And if I lend it out, I'm responsible for everything. You're not allowed to do that. So the Gemara says, v'lo ken tani reb chia. Ein hashoel rashai lashil. Ein hasocher rashai laschir, velo hashoel rashai laschir, velo hasocher rashai lashil. Meaning, someone who borrows it can't lend it out or rent it out, and someone who rents it out can't do either. So, ella imken natal, unless he got rishut from the Baal, unless he got permission to do so. So, the simple understanding is, oh, you said unless. It must be that's not the case. Rav Las says, b'shem Rav Yanai, v'hu shenatan rishut lashil. It must be in this situation when he rented it, he got permission under the terms of the rental that he's allowed to lend it to other people as well. And therefore, that's how you get this. Interesting scenario that's debated. Let's continue. Okay, here's a few things. One is Rashut Lashil. You can probably take out because in this situation, not relevant. That's interesting. What's that got to do with this case? So according to the Korah Marfil, it says it's not really relevant here, it's relative to Ketuvot. What was that case in Ketuvot? Since we've already raised it, that was where if a woman has made an apotropo on the as in an executor over the estate, not the estate, sorry, over the property of the husband, is still alive. He can make a tanai that she doesn't have to make a shvuah. But if the whole point was that if she entrusted other people, then the exemption is only for her, but not those other people she passed it on to. So the question is, who says she's allowed to hand it over the care of somebody else? And once again, this is the same type of answer. That's kind of what that sugya was talking about. We learned it back in Masechta Ketubah. Let's continue. Rabbi says, Sha'alua Balin Masocher. Now, this is even a more interesting case. What happened here is Reuven had an animal and he rented it to Shimon. And Reuven actually needed it for a day in that rental period. He says, can I borrow it off you? Now, what happened then? Umeta Kedarka. So once again, the socher makes a shvuah that he wasn't negligent. But what's interesting, the owner ends up having to pay the socher because it's a shoel. In other words, yishava socher shemetik adaka, so we'll get to ifilu achlu, we'll get to that in a second. So what seems to be here is this is another same bizarre scenario where the socher is patur metik adaka because that's the terms of his care. But if the owner himself borrowed it, a borrower is chay, somebody borrows is chayiv in the case of Meta Kedakra, so he's going to end up paying the value of this animal back to the person who rented it from. So rented it from him, and he loses out. Strange. So, and it says, if that's the case, I feel, the Gemara says, in Kenny, if that's the case, afilu achaluha, even if the owners end up eating the animal. So I have to explain what that means. Meaning, amra vina achalu shalahem achlu. No. In this point, there's a machloket. In this point, we say if the owner ends up shechting the animal or eating it, then doesn't have to pay back. Why? I'll show you here the Ribaz actually. The Ribaz here says, "Achlu meshelehem achlu." He says, "Delo dami lemeta." It's different if it meta kedarka. Why? Because meta kedahatam havi ale din chiyuv de shomer. If it's meta kedarka, we're still operating in the boundaries of laws of shomrim. Okay? In other words, he was a shoel. Shoel is culpable in the case of Metek Hadarka, and he gives it hands and pays the socher is part who gets to keep it, right? As long as he makes a shvuah. However, if the owner ends up eating the animal he borrowed back from the person he rented it to, that's called shlichu yad. You're not allowed to do that when you borrow something. You're not allowed to shech the animal, and therefore It's no longer working in the boundaries of a normal shmirah. We look at the culpability and things like that. It's a whole different parsha. Now we're talking about a gazla. Etc. Etc. And therefore, since he's now a chiyuv of gazlan and not a chiyuv of the shomer, just skipping a bit, it's actually his at the end of the day. Lo have a gazlan. He's not. He doesn't have a din of a gazlan because it's his. Who did he steal it from? He stole it from himself. It's his own. He doesn't have to pay. Only if you like the what he took away from in terms of the rental period. But not begufa behema. No, then you're still working the paradise of shomrim. So it's a beautiful distinction. But once again, even let's say it was metek darka. Once again, Rabbi Yossi says that's ridiculous. Heyach hala or says schorba parashel. How can you come to this bizarre scenario at the end of the day where you rent it to someone, you borrow a practice, and you end up paying for your own animal that died? That sounds ridiculous. Again, the assumption is it's almost like you borrowed it from yourself. That's what it's like, the svara behind it. Elakhtasor pa'al ha'balim, therefore you'd be patur. Okay, you missed it. It's now Mishnah Gimel. Amar l'shnayim, he said to two, gazalti et hamea, I stole from one of the two of you. Ve'einu eiz mekan, I don't know which of the two I stole from. Or aviv shelachan, I stole from the father of one of you two. Sorry, I'm not stole. Aviv shelachan, the father of one of you two. And trust him with some property, some money. The in your debt is, I don't know who. Then what we say, he actually pays both of them. Why? Because he admitted to the fact on his own. We'll discuss this when we get to the Gemara. Why that's important. Similarly, let's say someone was entrusted with property from two different people. One was worth 100, one was worth 200. And Omer, or actually, not an object, let's say, could be even money here, because the next case is Kalin. This is talking about money. And they both want to claim the pit when they're coming to collect their. He's got confused which of the two it is. And it's dealing with a situation where he wasn't negligent. The way the Bavli explains it is they were happy for the money to be in the same bag or something like that. So he wasn't negligent in the way he looked after it. That's why the Bavli explains it. But in any event, what happens is, and both of them are claiming, no, the 200 is mine. So, noten lazem aneh, noten lazem. You give 100 to each of them because at least they've each got at least 100. V'ashar. And the rest? The remaining 100 that is debated, that's got to stay on the side till Eliyahu Navi comes. Once again, Amar Yossi says that doesn't make sense. Im ken ma'af sidra mai, how's a cheetah losing out? Meaning, ela ha'kol yom munach ad she'vo. In other words, again, Levi's has in his care the money of Reuven and Shimon. Okay, one of them gave him 100, one of them gave him 200. If you go and give out, and both of them are claiming, both Reuven and Shimon are saying, you know, the 200's mine, give it back to me. And he says, like, I'm not really sure which of the two of them are, and therefore, the solution of the Tanakhama was give them each 100, and the difference that the disputing will hold. But Rabbi Yossi is ridiculous because there's no deterrent for the person to lie. He's not losing out anything, meaning he only had 100. And if at the end of the day he's going to get 100 back, there's no deterrent, doesn't lose out at all. So, like it's almost like an incentive for him to try and claim the 200, because at the end of the day he doesn't lose out. The only person who loses out is the real owner of the 200. So therefore he says no. In order to disincentivize, I think it is, or whatever, to have a deterrent from someone lying in this situation, you say no. If there's a debate, we'll hold all the money in trust until the owner comes. So therefore the cheater ends up losing. That's what Rav Yossi says. And that's the same thing in the next case as well, which is a kli. V'chen shnei kelim, the two different vessels. Echad, one's worth 100 and one's worth 1,000. Chara fe'elef. Zeh omer yafeh sheli. Each of them say, oh, that one is mine, the more expensive one. Notena takata nechame, and one gets a kata, mitoch agadu, you give him the value of the kata. That's of Tanakama. In other words, we give what everyone has a right to claim, that we know for certainty. And the remaining disputed amount with v'ashar yemunach ha'tshuva Eliyahu. However, Amar Rabbi Yossi says, the cheetah is not the dodgy guy in this situation, doesn't lose out. At the end of the day, by lying, he still gets his 100 back. So therefore, therefore the entire thing has to be kept in trust until Eliyahu comes.
And why isn't Rabbi Yossi concerned for the one who should have the 100, who's not the Ramai?
We can't, in this situation, we can't give the In any event, you can't give the true person the full value of what of his thing back,
Yeah, but you can
right?
give them a portion of the value, a
Yeah, but
hundred.
you don't know who it is.
But
You don't know who the real person is.
But you know for sure that each of them has a
Well,
hundred.
that's a svar the Tanna Kamma. The svar the Tanna Kamma is unique, but that's exactly what the Tanna Kamma says. But Rabbi Yossi says, but that situation, the Ramai, the dodgy person in this case, there's no deterrent for him to take on this exercise.
Right,
There's no deterrent
except.
whatsoever. He's got nothing to lose by doing it. So therefore, he says it's better to put the guy at the risk of losing every, like, let's hold it all so they don't get anything, to deter people from putting themselves in this situation. And then you're more likely then to have less people, doing this, trying to trick people out of it. Yeah.
In other words, you're punishing the Ramai by the injustice done towards the one who is not the Ramai.
Yeah, well, we're punishing everybody. Well, the Ramai effectively made him nearly lose 90% of his funds anyway, but we're saying that, yeah, basically, I think so. Now, the Gemara says, now, Amar Lishnan Gezalti, Ravel says B'shem Rav Yochanan, Kan Be'orarin, Kan B'shoktin. So what's this Kan V'Kan? What are we even talking about? So I'll show you the Gemara fully. It says, Mishum Dakasha, we've got a Kasha. And this is a sugi we saw back in Masechta Yevamot. Because in the case of Masechta Yevamot, Ahach Amar Lishnan Gezalti, in there, in Yevamot, when it says, I stole from one of you, or there, sorry, in the Yevamot, it's actually a person who stole from one of five people. He doesn't know who it was. So, gazal echad mechamesh bnei adam, ve'en yodea le'eze mehem gazal, meniach gazel, all he does is just put the stolen item between them, and he leaves. Okay? Bahaka, here it says, you've got to pay them all off. So we've got to steer it between two different Mishnah. Our Mishnah says, you've got to pay them all off. Another one is that you don't know who they stole from, you put the whole sum in the middle, and let them decide between themselves. How do you relate to the cases? So the Gemara says, very simply, well, not very simply, with many different chilukim. The first understanding is, Reval says, B'shem Yochanan, Kan Be'orin, Kan B'shotkin. Orin means, I'll just show you the Mara folder again. Kan Be'orin says, sorry, he says, Kan Be'orin, Hatam She'orin, there is Orin. Kol Echad Echad Shili, each of the people say, you stole from me, you stole from me. V'tovinoto, and they're claiming from him. Ve'en chafetz li'ten elo min adin, and therefore, all he wants to do is, okay, min adin, I stole from one of them. Fine, the seven, I'll put it down. He's not interested in doing tshuva here. It's just the people are claiming it from him. Mash enken hacha, in this situation, enim odinim gazlan v'shotkin. No one knows that it was stolen from themselves. He's volunteering on his own. V'hu ba'al yadei letzeh shemayim. And what he's doing, he's voluntarily coming himself to say, look, you guys know nothing about this. I don't know who I stole it from, but I want to do letzeh yadei shemayim. And by the way, this way of understanding, sugya zavara fully explains every case. I mean, there's a distinction between what he wants to go above and beyond. Let's say that he's shemaim, so he has no accounting in Olam Haba, meaning he wants to make sure that the person he stole from got the money back, so he gives it to everybody. And the other one's min adin, meaning they're each claiming it's theirs. He doesn't know who it was, so fine, I'll give it and you sort it out amongst yourselves. Okay? That's how we understand the two different cases. That's the first shita. Okay. Now, the next case of Rabbi Yossi says, B'shem Rabbi Yochanan, kan b'shiyesh eidim yodin, v'kan b'she'eino yodin. Now, another way to differentiate between the two Mishnayos is where there are Edim that know he stole, but they don't know who he stole from. Okay, so there's two different ways. We learned it according to Reb Chaim, but I'll show you my full here and then explain Reb Chaim, who explains like the opposite. Meaning he says, if there are Edim, let me show you here. Kan Shiesh Edim, Beshiesh Edim, there is where there are witnesses. And Umatnitim Be'ein Edim, Elamatz Mohoda. Meaning there, when there are witnesses, he has to do again Min Adin. However, here, where there are no witnesses, he wants to just, if you like, Yotzeh B'dei Shamayim, same type of idea. However, when he learns it back to Reb Chaim, he switches around completely. He says, when there are Edim to see that he stole it, that's where we're konsinoto. We apply a knas. You were witness with the whole steal, so therefore we're going to make you return to every single one of them. Okay? When there are not, then you just put one Yotzeh, which is, again, they have like a complementary, or sorry, opposite ways of understanding the sugya. Similarly, Rabbi Yirmiyahu says B'shem Rav, Kan B'shenishpa, Kan B'shelo Nishpa. Again, just to explain Nishpa and Lo Nishpa, Koin Mara Fulda, again, it's going to be opposite of Reb Chaim, but I'm just going to show you the two because we're Reb Chaim and we've got Mara Fulda here today. It says, Sham B'nishpa, meaning Hatam, if he made it there when he made a Shvu initially, Shelo Gezalan, Mistama, therefore, Eina Rotzela Tzeh Edid Shemayim, you also want to say Edid Shemayim. So therefore, he just puts it out. However, here, when he didn't make a Shvu, he wants to mamash do the right thing and therefore he wants to go above and beyond. Again, that's a whole Malacha Sugya according to Rav Mara Fulda. We differentiate between Min Adin, Bedim HaChayim to do something, versus when he wants to go above and beyond. However, once again, the Rav Chaim, when we wrote this back in Yevamot, he said the opposite. He says, if someone made a Shvu and they lied, we just learned about this recently, what happens is, they don't get a Kapara until they return it to the person they returned it from. Right? They can't bring the Korban until they do. They have to even travel after them all the way to another country, if you remember. So therefore he says, no, when I make a shvuah, in order to be able to do full kapara, you now have to return it to every single one of them. Like it's opposite of the mafulda, right? Whereas if you did make a shvuah, a different situation altogether, you can just put it down in front and be done with it. Okay, those are all the different ways we've been trying to look at the difference between the one is orim shotki, another one's edim or not edim, another one is nishba velo nishba or shotek. Now, the Gemara says, Rebbe Yirmi Baye, im ben nishba, hayala lishtok. If it's a case where he made a shvuah, he should have kept silent. Now, what does it mean should have kept silent? Rebbe Yirmi asks Sabra, the have a minute what we're trying to say, I'm explaining this like we learned Reb Chaim, is Sabra meima hayala lishtok velo ado, he should have kept quiet and not admitted. But that doesn't make any sense whatsoever. Why, in other words, if he wants to do tshuva, he has to admit. So what do you mean halal ishtok? But rather, sabar meimar, Rabbi Yossi says, no. But the kasha is as follows. Sabar hayalal ishtok, he should have been quiet. V'lo lishavah, not to make a shvuah. We have to make a shvuah. There wasn't a shvuah midaraita he had to make. So that's what he, that's sort of the kasha. Okay. Rabbi Yochanan brings another kasha. Again, we're bringing lots and lots of kashas in the case of nishba. We make a shvuah or not. Okay? So now we're saying, im ben nishba, haya lo la'asot shaleach beitin. Why? That, in other words, because in that situation, if he's nishba, there's a question in, again, we'll continue where we learned to quote Reb Chaim there back in Yevamot, is that what one person can do in order to achieve the kapara, he can give that which he stole to a shaleach beitin. And then it's fine. He doesn't have to give it to every single one of them. He just gives it to a shaleach beitin. The question is, though, it must be Rabbi Yochanan Sava Shaluach Beitin She'asa HaGozel. In other words, when is it considered sufficient to give it over such now you can bring a korban of making a false shvuah pikadon? That is only if that is sorry, that is where you gave it to your Shaliach Beitin. Okay? So therefore it's fine. That's why it's a good kasha. However, if it's a coin that Pnei Ocher makes according to the other understanding, other people say, no, when have you relieved the responsibility? That's when you give Shaliach Beitin of the Nigzal. So in that situation, that wouldn't be such a good kasha. So in other words, the fact that Rabbi Yochanan asked a kasha, if in nishba, you don't have to pay every single one of them. The fact he says it's a kasha, why? You don't have to pay every single. Sorry, the assumption is if you make a shvuah, you have to pay every single one of them. But why do you have to pay every single one of them if you could simply just give it to Shleach Beit Din? Must be, according to Rabbi Yochanan's understanding, the Shleach Beit Din referring to the Shleach Beit Din of the Gazlan, not the Nigzar. That's only the way the kasha makes sense. It says, V'chen tani Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, Shleach Beit Din shasa Nigzal. That's his understanding. It's actually Nigzal, not the Gaza of Losh Beirut, a Gozer, the thief. Now the Gemara says, Amar Rav Ila, Af or Of Ana Tanina, the Amar Hi Gzela Hi Beila Hi Malda. So the way the Maharful explains this is it relates to a Gemara in Bava Kama, in Bavli. Let me just show you. We'll go through that piece of the Gemara now. Let me just share my screen. Yeah, there's a nice looking Gemara there. There it talks about the following case: Kidesha Chamesh Nashim. If someone married, so betrothed one of five women, any other day as a Kidesh, and though he betrothed. Everyone says it was me. Now, don't get the kolachad. He has to get to every single one of them because otherwise you're in big trouble now because they can't get married because they've said by asu. However, when it comes to the ketubah, maniach ketubah b'nei, he seems to put the ketubah down and Mr. Lekin and he can walk away. That's the Rebbe Tarfon. Rebbe Akiva says no. Ein ze derech motzi midei aveira. Ad shtein ketubah lekolachad. It's not a way to get out of the aveira until he gives a ketubah to every single one of them. Okay. What aveira is that? We're not sure. It's an old kiddushin. Then it says, "Gazal echad mechamesh nashim." So, "Gazal," not nashim. Echad echad chamichamisha. He stole from one of five people. The ein yodei doesn't know me'ezer gazal. I didn't know who he stole from. Kol echad omer. Each person says it's me. Then once again, mistalek. Neither gzel benehem or mistalek. He's to be walking after death. The Rebbe Tarfon, Rabbi Akiva says, "Ein zomet aveira." You got to pay every single one of them. So, in other words, just to summarize so far, go to machlok Rabbi Kim, Rabbi Tarfon in the case of either kiddushin when it comes to a ketubah, or the case of a gzela, where it's one of the five of you, Rabbi Tarfon says just put it in between them and walk away, and Rabbi Akiva says no, you've got to pay every single one of them, either women the ketubah or the gzela. Now important to understand, kidesh seems to be didn't do an aveira, gzela he did do an aveira. Okay, let's look at the Gemara. The Gemara says kidesh ktani, ba'alo ktani, meaning what he didn't do kiddushin be'ila, which would be not the right thing to do. So gazal ktani, meaning he stole, which is a bad thing, like achlok tani. So mani manitin, it doesn't mean lo tana kama v'lo Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar. Seems to be that our mission doesn't make sense according to anyone. Why did time now with another brighter? Let's piece it together. Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar omer, no nechlu Rabbi Tav Rabbi Akiva al kidesh echad mishach nashim, ve'eno de'ez mikidesh. Meaning there's no machloket, according to Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, between Rabbi Tav and Rabbi Akiva, if he did proper kiddushin, meaning kiddushin there's no aveira. He just forgot who he did it to. In that situation, then everyone agrees me out niach ktul ba b'nei hem, and we slaking simply walk away. Ma nechluk, what's machloket? But ba'al, if you did a kiddushin be'ilah with which you're not meant to be doing. Rabbi Tafran says he's a naughty boy. Sorry, Rabbi Tafran says nonetheless, sorry, he's simply meniach ktul ba b'nei hem. And Rabbi Kiva Selek, and Rabbi Kiva says he's a naughty boy in that situation. He did the wrong things. He has to do with kol echad v'echad. Now the next case is. Lo nechlu Rabbi Kiva al shelakach mekach mechametz, if it's simply bought from one of five people, he doesn't remember who he bought from. And then that situation, he put the money down. What's a machloket? Only when, I'm just skipping a few lines, where he stole. Rabbi Tarfon says, nonetheless, you still leave the money in front of them. Umi Selek and Rabbi Kiva says, you pay, right? Mishtonim. Every single one of them. Now, midikama Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar bikidesh velakach lo pligi. In the must mean mikla tana kama sabar that they always. That they papligi that Rabbi Tarfon, Rabbi Kiva, whether he did an aveira, whether he didn't do an aveira, whether he acted properly or not, doesn't make a difference. The machlokum and Rabbi Tarfon, whether you just simply place in front of them or you have to pay every single one, or contra Rabbi Kiva, is across the board. That's the flow of the Gemara there. It says each tanakama, if it's tanakama, you shouldn't have said kidesh and gazal. It should be in a situation that wasn't aveira. It was kidesh and lakach because the machloket is across the board. Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, Shimon ben Elazar, litany it should have told, it should have taught Baal the Gazal, which in it, because the machlokets only when they didn't he when the person didn't do the right thing. And Kiddush, he did do the right thing. So the Gemara then said, Loam Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, it's Rabbi Shimon, or my Kiddush, what's Kiddush Bebiya, where he did the wrong thing. Okay, that's the flow of the Sugya there. So let's now go back to our Gemara and look at the Marafulda. You need all that background to understand what's going on. It says, the Mishnah doesn't seem like Rabbi Tanakama or Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar. Because Rabbi Tanakama, like we just saw, even if he didn't do the wrong thing, even if he just purchased it, or Malbury loaned money from someone, doesn't remember who he loaned from, then still the Machlok and Rabbi Kibra and Rabbi Tafan exists. Nami Palai Rabbi Kibra Rabbanan. The Chen Kidesh as well. Rabbi Shimon Lazar Svirale de Dafka Gazela, only if he did the wrong thing, that's what machlok it is. Umashimanitin, it must be there, that, like we just saw, that Mishnah there is Rabbi Shimon Lazar, Umay Kidesh, what's Kidesh? The Tani? It must be Kidesh, but Bila, we did the wrong thing by using Bia as a form of Kiddushin rather than just say money or Shvekes or something worth money. Now the Gemara is, what's the Gemara doing with this? It's a little one liner. Hashta dayak Rabbi Eli says, if you want to say the whole case we have to pay him back is when he made a shvuah and lied about the shvuah, then it wouldn't make a difference anymore. Havale lomar, he gzela, he kidesh, he malve, it doesn't make a difference. Because whether he did kiddushin, whether bebiya or bekesef, whether he loaned or stole, if he ended up making a shvuah and lied, he's done the wrong thing. It wouldn't make a difference. So therefore, there's no difference. The bekula isur avid. He did the wrong thing. He did an isur. It must be. He brings this as a proof quite clearly. It can't be talking about in those sugyas over there that we're talking about a case where he made a shvua. That's where going to the Reb Chaim says you have to pay every single person back, because if that was the case, then it wouldn't make a difference between whether he stole or he borrowed. All the cases would be exactly the same. Fine. That's kind of like the long proof to say that the distinction is not got to do with made a shvuah or not shvuah. It could be instead like whether he admitted or he was brought to court, those type of things. Now, I call morning a pikadon. It comes to pikadon, the matnitin, mahada. Yeah, the mouthful that says, everyone agrees when it comes to like a pikadon, whether it's silent or whether there's a claim made against it. Okay, like we say, like the Mishnah says, he says, Amar Lashnaim Gazalti Chad Mehen, Ve'ini Odeh Eze Mehen, Mikem Aviv Shel Achad Mehen, Wefkid Etzli, Ve'ini Odehahu. So you see quite clearly we're talking about, if you like, the situation of a pikadon, which is like the case in our Mishnah. Okay, fine, beseder. And because it was shotgin, according to the Marafulda, he has to pay him every single person back. He wants to use Tzedek Shemayim, according to his Malacha Sugya. Okay, let's look at the next Mishnah, Halacha Dalet. Hamafkid peyot etzel chaveira. He trusts some fruit by his friend, or produce, I should say. Afilu en avodim, even if they're starting to rot and go bad and spoil, you don't touch them. Ma'ed lo yigaveh. Tanakama holds, the guy wants his food back. What have you trusted? Harev Shimon Ganazi, you've got a mitzvah Hashem's Bat Aveda here. Rather, what do you mean, Kor? You should sell it in bifnei beitin, so it's done properly. Because at the end of the day, he wants his principal back. That's like kind of the machloket, I think, when you look at the Bavli, is does the person want the actual item back, or does he want the principal back? Like, that's like the debate. Mana says, Hamafki parents of Chaber, Amrabiavau, Im Omer at Avudim hen, Al Yabahen, Af Afumam Silahen. Sorry, that here is, I'll just show you here what he says. Afumam Silahen, Ibud, it kind of be completely lost. It's gonna be wasted. Afumam Silahen, that's what Haramaf explains that Marfold explains that line. So Rabbi Aval says Baryak, Rabbi Yaak, so it's explaining, saying this is explaining shit that Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, their mitzvah Shatavaida. So Rabbi Abba Bar Yaakov says B'shem Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Aval says B'shem Rabbi Yochanan as well. Halacha k'Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel. That again, the mitzvah Shatavaida allows you to sell this object or this produce that's been entrusted in your care. Kada Rabbi Yochanan Chakokach, okay, that's where it's from, says Afgad Gabei Rabbi Chiya Roba Chadiskaya Malia Chametz. The whole he was trusted with a lot of chametz. Now the problem is, come Pesach time, what happens to the chametz? Well, Avala Pesach, it's going to be the value will go from whatever it was to zero. So what did he tell him? Atashal Revi Amar Yimkor Al Pi Beitin. Simply B'Shapiur. Wait until Shapiur and then sell it Al Pi Beitin to a goy, and that way you're preserving and saving it from this for the person. Okay, Beseder. We've got another line, but we'll just we'll let send for next year. Well, Beseder, Kol Tov, have a good day, everyone. Okay.
Thank you.